Thank you and praise you. On the first day of the week, the day of your resurrection, we can get together here. We can pursue you together. We can enjoy you together. We give this meeting to you. We pray from the very beginning to the very end. We enjoy your rich presence. Lord, we pray that your victorious blood will continuously to cleanse us so that we can all enjoy your fresh anointing. Lord, we give this meeting to you. We thank you. We praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, many people who know me, that I'm not afraid of many, many things. But one thing I'm always afraid of, you know, what is that?
Review.
Exactly. You know, that shows that many people in this room know me. Yeah. The thing I'm afraid the most is to review either a conference or a training. That is the thing I'm really afraid of. But it seems that the Lord always asks me to do the reviewing. And you know, all these messages are very rich. Even one message would take a long time. And they don't talk about review the whole conference or a whole training. You know, we just had a winter training, and that training has 12 messages. And I know if I try to review the 12 messages, I end up reviewing nothing. Therefore, I can only choose one message. And I choose the last message of this training. Why? Because I feel it is really the Lord's sovereign arrangement that at this time we can have this message. And I hope you still remember last Lord's Day, Brother Ed announced that on January 17th, that is the coming Saturday, and we will have a special fellowship time. We ask all those who have the burden to serve the Lord, we hope that you can come. And so all those who have the burden to serve the Lord, and we will have a special, a big fellowship.
Right.
It will be 10 o'clock, right?
Right.
The coming, but later, Brother Ed will make this announcement again so that you can all remember. And the last message of this this training, that is message number 12. And before we get into these messages, I hope for all of you who have the book, you can take your book at this time. And if you have also brought your Bible, I hope that you also take out your Bible also. Because there are many verses that in this message that we need to read together. So then, if we have this book in your hand and the Bible also in your hand, that will save us a lot of time. The topic of the last message, if you turn to message number 12, the topic is what? The topic is a kingdom of priests. Let's read it again. The kingdom of priests. And I really thank the Lord. I think it is God's sovereign arrangement. When we brothers decided that next Saturday, we will have this special fellowship time. At that time, we did not know in this winter training, we will have this message. And we only knew that this winter training will cover the book of Exodus. And we did not know in this training, the last message is on a kingdom of priests. This is exactly the burden we brothers had to have this January 17th special fellowship time. So I really think all these things are arranged by our sovereign Lord's sovereign hand. And even concerning this one message, I realized I cannot just review everything, because there are many things very precious in this one message. I just cannot cover everything. I will only cover those things that I enjoy the most in this message. And after I finish, I hope all of you who have gone to the winter training, and that you can fellowship, you can share whatever you enjoy the most, so we can all prophesy in this meeting. Amen. So let's turn to this first Roman numeral 1. Let us read this Roman numeral 1 first. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Now, this is Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. So way back, 3 months after the people of Israel were saved by God, and you know the story, and so they left Egypt, and also the Egyptian Pharaoh and his soldiers, everything, they were all buried by the water. And 3 months after that, in the wilderness, and here you find this verse. So if you have the Bible, then let us turn to Exodus chapter 19. So if you have the Bible handy, let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. Yeah. We can read from verse 1 to verse 6. Yeah, we read it together. So here, this portion, I think the Bible is very clear. I don't think we need any explanation. And so here, after God has saved the people of Israel, and I say in A, it says, God chose the Israelites to be a kingdom of priests. He wanted the whole nation to be priests, and his salvation was to obtain a kingdom of priests. Now, this is very clear. So, when it says the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt in order to make them a kingdom of priests, a kingdom in which everyone would be a priest. And when who serve, no, who is the priest? A priest is the one who serves God. Right. And hence, God's goal was to have a priestly nation. And this is what God is looking for. He wants to get a nation that in this nation, everybody is a priest to serve God. And in the small a, it says, this nation was to be different from all other nations on earth. For all the people of this nation would be priests. And those who live solely for God's interest and serve Him. Then small b said, every person in the nation would have one unique occupation, that is serving God. Amen. So don't worry, you will be unemployed. But we will always have a job. And that is what? Serving God. Okay. And number two, it says that the priests wait on God and follow God. And their job is to serve God. And the whole nation of Israel was to be a nation of priests serving God. Amen. Everyone in this kingdom was to serve God alone. That means you only serve God, you don't serve anything else. Okay. Don't think after we have read these paragraphs, we understand what this Bible is talking about. No, you see it very clear, right? We all serve God. But I'm afraid whenever we talk about we serve God, we always think, oh, we have to be very busy, do this for God, do that for God, and then I'm serving Him. But this is not what the Bible wants to show us. That's why we have to go to continue. And B says, what is depicted in the Old Testament? In other words, in the Old Testament, all these things are just like a picture. The real thing is today in the New Testament. And so number two says, the Lord Jesus, the priest. He's the first priest is the Lord Jesus. And so this is from the Bible. But so here it says the New Testament, we have the reality. Old Testament is just a picture, but the New Testament, today, we are having this reality. Is that God's intention toward the church today is for everyone to be a priest. We are a kingdom of priests. So we are what? Kingdom of priests. And so the first concept we need to have is before this message, the message 11 talking about the kingdom of God. We know the time when we believe in the Lord Jesus and when we receive the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, and on one hand, we are saved, we are being saved on God's side, that we have been called by God out of the world. And so we have to see that we enter, once we believe in the Lord, we got saved, we got regenerated, we enter into the kingdom of God. Yes, we enter into the kingdom of God. But with a kingdom of priests, we do not enter into a thing called the kingdom of priests. Why? Because what is the kingdom of priests? Who is the kingdom of priests? The kingdom of priests is us. So don't think we enter into the kingdom of priests. Rather, we become the kingdom of priests. We all have to have a clear understanding about this matter. So what is the kingdom of priests? It's you and me. We are all the members of this kingdom of priests. And so if you want to enter into, I don't think where you can find the door. You need to know the kingdom of priests where? All right here. So, but anyway, in order for us to really understand these things, and so here in under B, you have number 1 and 2. Let us all read number 1 and 2 together. When God's intention toward the church today is for everyone to be a priest. We are a kingdom of priests. And number 2, the Lord Jesus, the priest, brought us into the priesthood through his rent, and the whole church should now be the priesthood. Okay, then number 3 says, all the saved ones are called to be priests. As of our person, we are sons of God. And as the church, we are priests. So once we believe in the Lord, we get regenerated, we are born again, we receive the divine life, and so concerning our being, we are the sons of God. But concerning our service, so we are all priests. And both the, to be son and the, to be a priest are for time. There's no son can say, oh, father, from 9 to 5, I'm your son. After 5, goodbye. No such thing. A son is always for time. And in the Bible, the priest is also always for time. It is not just, yes, they want to serve the Lord, but that is not 9 to 5 work. And also, it is a kind of living. And so, we have to be clear that concerning to be God's children and to be God's priest is always for time. Okay. Now here in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, now this is a very important chapter. So that's why we had read these verses in the book of Ephesians. So he says, all the saved ones are called to be priests. As of our person, just this is just what I just said, and that then we are sons of God, and that then as of our spiritual occupation, we are priests of God. And so number 4 says, since we are priests, we should be serving God all day long in whatever we do. What does that mean? That means, don't think because now you want to serve God, therefore you have to quit your job, you have to stop your studying. No, you still live a normal life. You still have to, those students, you need to go to school, you need to study diligently, and those who are working, and you can never say to your boss, oh, boss, I'm serving God now. Goodbye. No, don't do that. And then another thing is that when the parents have children, you have to take care of them. Don't say, oh, now I'm serving God, so you take care of yourself. No, no, it's not like this. We have to see in our daily life, whatever you do, you have to see, I'm doing this for God, not just for myself. Why I have to, well, I'm not encourage you to have many, many, many children. You know, in Far East, there are people who have many, many children, especially in the Philippines and in Taiwan sometimes. But then, once you have a children, you need to know the parents are responsible for your children. You need to bring your children to the Lord. And so you can, on one hand, be good parents, at the same time, you also are serving God. And the same as our work, the same as our study, we need to do these things, we need to do these things in very sincere and diligent way. And we have to know, whatever we do, we're doing this for God. So I hope that you understand this. Now then, in Roman numeral 2, it says, let's read Roman numeral 2 together.
Yes,
In order to realize what the priest is, we need to see God's eternal plan. So this point is very important. Don't think, oh, now I know. I'm a priest, and that means I have to serve God, so I have to do many things for God. No, that's always our concept. But here, in Roman numeral 2, tells us, what is a real priest? What is the really to serve God? So here it says, in order to realize what the priest is, we need to see God's eternal plan. You still have to come back. I'm sorry. You still have to come back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Amen. Why? Because Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 shows us what is God's goal, what is the things God wants to get. And we have said this many, many times. God wants to create man according to his image. Why? Because why according to his image? It's because very important point is once we have the same image, then we can receive God inside of us. And I'm sorry that I left my glove in my, but forget it, you don't need to take the glove. Everybody know what glove is, right? A glove is created according to what image? The image of my hand. For what? It's not to show people, oh, a glove has a one, what do you call it? Thumb. And the four fingers. The four fingers are not the same length, and they are different. Well, this is the image of a hand. And the glove is created, is made according to the image of the hand. For what purpose? Not for the purpose to show people, look, this is a hand. No, you don't need to do that. But this is for what purpose? For the hand to get into the glove. And then the glove will be filled by the hand. That is the purpose. Of course, these days we are all, the weather's very cold. We need to put on our glove. And if I try to make my foot, if I try to get a glove according to the image of my foot, then you can never get your hand into that glove, right? Because it's not according to the image of the hand. So here, we have to see that God's purpose, his eternal purpose, is to create us according to his image so that we can all enter into God. And God can be into us. So this is why Roman numeral 2 said, in order to realize what the priest is, we need to see God's eternal plan. That is in Ephesians chapter 3. And from in the outline is 11, but I think you still remember when we read this portion that in Ephesians chapter 3. And so do you have here Ephesians chapter 3 from verse what? From verse 8 to verse 11. Okay. Now, we know there are four books. That is, the first is the Galatians, and then Ephesians, then Philippians, then Colossians. These four books is what? Is the heart of the revelation, right? And then, but he said another verse, that the verse is Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 11, right? That is what? That is the heart of the hearts. That is what? Let's read that verse, Ephesians chapter 3. And this is a very important verse, because this verse is the heart of the hearts. And so let us turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Yeah, let's read this verse together. According to yes. Yeah. Okay. He's what? Yeah, according to his eternal purpose. But still, we need to read. This is not the verse I'm looking for. What is the verse I'm looking for? What? We need to what?
Christ made this home in our heart.
Right. That verse says, we need to what? Let Christ make his home in our heart. What does it mean? Let Christ make his home in our heart. We have to know that to make home. What is a home? A home is not a hotel room. A home is the place that you have the authority over it. And so very often, especially when you're in a training or you take hospitality. Now, don't think this hospitality is your home. It is what? You just live there. And because you have to come to this training. So not only this, sometimes you live in the hotel. The hotel is the place that you stay overnight, but it still is not your home. Don't think, oh, I have paid the hotel, and I have the right. If you don't like the color of the wall, then you go out buy another color. No, the wall you cannot do that. But anyway, the carpet, and if you think the carpet number does not fit your taste, you cannot say, okay, I throw the carpet away, I buy another color carpet. The hotel won't let you. You don't have the authority to do that. But at home means it's a place that we are the Lord. We are really the Lord of this home. And so usually the father, the mother, they are the ones that have the authority to be in this home. And therefore, to ask the Lord to make his home in our heart means that we want to let the Christ not only live in us, but he really is the Lord in this home. Very often when I visit different saints' home, they will have these things hanging there. Oh, well, the Lord, this home, the Lord is the home. Jesus is my Lord in this home. Oh, I always thank the Lord for that, to see that. But this is therefore what we have to say, what we have to see in this section. We have to see what? We have to see, in order to accomplish God's eternal purpose, we need to let Christ, not only we know today, Christ is in us. Whether you like it or not, at the moment you receive Jesus as your personal Savior, Jesus already entered into you. In all of us, we have Christ in us. But the point is, do you let this Christ to make his home in your heart, or you don't want to let Christ to make your heart his home? Now, if we want to let Christ to make home in our heart, that means we should let Christ have the authority to do everything in our heart. Our thought should be the Lord's thought. Our emotion should be the Lord's emotion. Our will should be the Lord's will. If the Lord's will is this, and you insist to hold on your own whatever you want, then you are not allowed Christ to make his home in your heart. And so this is what it says. this has a lot to do with to be a priest. A real priest led Christ to make his home in our heart. I hope this point is very important. It is not that, oh, I'm very zealous and I know now I'm a priest, I want to serve God, so I do this, I do that. But if whatever you do, it's not what God wants to you, not the Lord wants to you to do, then still you don't let Christ make his home in your heart. Then you may have a priest, you may to be a priest in name, but not the real priest. A real priest is the person let Christ to make his home in our heart. And I hope that you see this point. Then in A says, God's plan is to work himself into a group of people in order that he might be their life and that they might be his expression. Let's read A together. God's plan is to work himself into a group of people in order that he might be their life and that they might be his expression. So this is God's eternal purpose. Okay. So then, let's read B and C together. B. From the beginning of the to the end of the Bible, God wants to gain a priesthood. All the glorious things in the Bible are related to priesthood. So this is based on these verses in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, 11, and 22, 3. And C says, let's read C together. Man was destined and created to see God, to be filled, saturated, and permeated with God, and to have God flow out in him so that it might be a living expression of God. This is a brief definition of a priest. Now, what is a priest? A priest is the person that open his whole being and to receive God into you. We all need to open our whole heart, our whole being, our whole heart. Let Christ, let God enter into us and to fill us, saturate us, permeate with God, that to have God flow out of him. And this is the real kind of service. And if we do not let Christ to be Lord in ourselves, we just serve the Lord according to our own opinion, our flesh, you can never please God that way. So we have to see that the most important thing is to open our heart to receive Christ into us. That's why we also read the 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, that verse was referring what Moses said, referring the people of Israel. But today, many people, even though we are in the New Testament time, but we still want to stay in the Old Testament laws. But then, whenever we turn our heart to the Lord, amen, then the veil will be taken away. Why certain ones can see the vision, can understand God's eternal purpose, and someone cannot, or they don't want to. And so the important is our heart. So the problem with the people of Israel was that their heart is not on Christ. They don't believe in Christ, but their heart was on the religion, their Judaism. And so they can never see the revelation. And but whenever our heart turns to the Lord, then all the veils will be taken away. And then you will have the condition of what we just read. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. And that verse we have already... No, it's not chapter 3, verse 4. It is chapter 3, verse 18, actually. So if you have Bible, let's turn to that verse. So that is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So let's read it together. Yeah. So this verse is a very, very precious verse. And if you have time, I encourage you also memorize this verse. This verse is the help us to really live a normal Christian life. And therefore, if you have time, you need to pray, read again and again this verse, chapter 3, verse 18. Now, just because of time, we have to move on. And so now we come to, let's read Roman numeral 2. B and C together. From the beginning, this B we already read, so we can read C. Man was designated and created to receive God, to be filled, saturated, permeated with God, and to have God flow out to him, so that he might be a living expression of God. This is the brief definition of a priest. So this is the real priest. What a real priest. He opened his heart to the Lord and filled with Christ himself, the Spirit of God. And so to have God flow out. The real service is not that I prepare a message and get many words saying that. No, we have to let the Spirit, let the Christ, let the triune God saturate in us. And when this flow out, when the triune God flow out through us, then we are really supply life to other people. Actually, a normal local church, every meeting should be a meeting of what? Of supplying the divine life to each other. Right. That is the normal meeting. If in a meeting you don't have the supply of the divine life, you are not serving the Lord. You are not a real priest. So these things we have to be very clear. And I don't think I have time to cover Roman numeral 3. So let's go to Roman numeral 4. Let's read Roman numeral 4 together. To be a priest is not mainly to do something for the Lord, but the taking over by him. So this is what we just said. And again, this Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Remember this verse, okay? Ephesians chapter 3, verse what? 17. That is the verse encourages to let the Christ to make his home in our hearts. Okay, so then we come to B. Now, here it says, in the presence of the Lord until he is one with him in spirit. Now, this is the what we had earlier, the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Yeah. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, he who is joined with the Lord is one spirit. Then B says, the Lord's intention is for us to open ourselves to him. Let's read B together, okay? The Lord's intention is for us to open ourselves to him, and let him come into us to fill us, saturate us, and be one with us. When he will do something through us, whatever he does will flow out of himself. Now, pay attention that him, is always capital letter that refers to God Himself. And so what we need to do is to let the triune God saturate us, and so that this triune God can flow out through us. Then we can really supply life to other people. And then C is also very important. Let's read C. The priesthood that God desires to have is a corporate man who is saturated and permeated and with Himself. And again, it's the same thing. It seemingly, it's just repeat the same thing again and again and again. Yeah, it is just like Deuteronomy. And so we need to repeat many times. And concerning the worldly things, you don't need to repeat even once. But concerning the divine things, we need to repeat many times. And then in 1 it says, if we are saturated and permeated with the glory of the Lord, we will be one with Him and one with one another in Him. Now, in order to build a church, we have to have oneness. Now, how can we have this oneness? It is now we ourselves gnashing our teeth, and we want to win with this one, win with that one. But without Christ in us, without the triune God flow out through us, we can never be one. So everything is just Christ, Christ, Christ. And then 2 says, if we realize the desire of God's heart, we will be fully open to Him so that He may flood us with Himself. I really feel this too is wonderful. Let's all read it together. If we realize the desire of God's heart, we will be fully open to Him so that He may flood us with Himself. Okay. And number 3, it says, all Christian work and the service must issue out of this priesthood. So if your service is not to issue this, what is this? This is the priesthood. So now we come to Roman numeral 5. And read Roman numeral 5 together. As a kingdom of priests, we are both a holy priesthood and a royal priesthood. Now this is in 1 Peter chapter 2. And 1 Peter chapter 2 is a very wonderful chapter. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I think it's better to start from verse 2 to verse 5. So 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 is a very famous verse, right? Let's read it together. As newborn babes long for the ripe milk of the word, in order that by it may grow. Okay, stop here for a moment. These two verses is very, very precious. And so we all should be what? We'll be sure like newborn babes. What is the newborn babes? Newborn babes, the baby, all what they know is the milk, mother's milk. We should be like these baby. So just this is not my word, this is the Bible's word. As newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation. We need to be saved from many things. How can we be saved in God's life? We need to be like newborn babes, long for the guileless milk of the word. Not only we need to understand the word, we also need to eat and drink and enjoy and taking the word into our being. And then, if verse 3 said, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. The sad thing is we have this privilege, we can enjoy the Lord, but yet we do not take this. But let's taste it. Taste the Lord's word. The more you taste the Lord's word, the more you know it's good. Really. I can really testify. If we really love the Lord's word in that way, and really, what? You would be satisfied. Oh, the Lord's word is so sweet and so shining, full of light. So the thing is, we don't want to spend time to get into the Lord's word, but then we cannot taste. We have one of the message we had, manna, right? Last week you also talked about manna.
Right.
And just like Brother Dennis said last week, I say very amen. He said, the taste can be developed.
Right.
You know, I and my wife are all Chinese. We all have Chinese blood. As Chinese, we love the Chinese food. And so some of the food we like a very famous dish is the shark fin soup. And especially in the best shark fin soup will be in this country, in close to Indonesia. Is what is the country? Huh?
Philippines?
No, not the Philippines. Philippines is not. What?
Burma?
What?
Malaysia?
No. Singapore. Singapore's shark fin soup is
famous.
The most delicious. Because once I visited Singapore and the leading brothers brought me to a restaurant. Oh, it's very delicious. But later he said that dish cost $50. I didn't know. If I should have known, I'd tell, oh, please keep. I don't want to eat that expensive. But we have our taste. And if we want our children to eat the sharks thing, and also and they also we also like to eat the kind of cheese cucumber, and but when we have two daughters, so they all have our blood, but they were all born in the United States. And when they thought we eat this kind of food, they said, "Wow, yucky, how can you eat this kind of thing?" But then, what kind of thing do they like? Well, they like hot dog. They like... they like to go to where?
McDonald's.
To eat what?
Hamburger.
Right. We eat an American-born... either love hamburgers, hot dog, and also pizza, right? Amazing. After I stayed in the United States for a long time, I started to like pizza. So the taste can be changed. The taste can be developed. And then now I even sometimes also like some kind of hamburger, but not the beef hamburger. Though some of them has fish, right?
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
So my point is, our taste can be developed, and like what Brother Dennis said last week, in the eternity future, what kind of food will we have?
Christ.
Yeah. The What is this? Manna.
We get manna. Yeah.
So it's better you develop your taste today.
Right.
So, once I met an unbeliever, and this unbeliever was what he knows the philosophy. He said, "All those who are not in heaven are those who don't want to enter into the heaven. Why? Because all what they want, you cannot find in the heaven." Some like gamble, some want this game, that game. You cannot find that in the New Jerusalem. But it's better now we develop the right kind of food, right kind of taste, and so that in the eternal future we can really have a good time to enjoy Christ. So here, but just very quickly, Roman numeral 5 bring in two more things, two more aspects. So yes, we should be the priest, and not only priest, but we should tell the priesthood. That means we are not serving the Lord by ourselves, but rather we need to serve together in the church life, in the body. We should, our attitude should be we are in the body and to do things with the body and also then for the body. And this is what the Lord wants. And so but in Roman numeral 5 bring two more important things. That is, concerning priesthood, there are two kinds. One is holy priesthood, another is royal priesthood. So here in Roman numeral 5, it says, A, the holy priesthood is the typified by the order of Aaron. Aaron's priesthood is towards the holy priesthood. And that means the holy priesthood, that means that they represent the people and bring God's people towards to God. And then in verse 9 and 10, first Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it bring another, that is royal priesthood. Now, royal priesthood, so here already explain everything for us, like Roman number A. A says, the holy priesthood is typified by the order of Aaron, and the royal priesthood is typified by the order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is mentioned in Exodus 29 and also Genesis chapter 14. And so when Abraham won the war and Melchizedek and brought things, the bread and the things gift, to supply Abraham. So you have two kind of priesthood. So we need both. Okay? So then holy priesthood is typified by Aaron. And that the order of Aaron is the holy order. Then to be holy is to be separated from the worldly things unto God. And the holy order is an order separated from common things unto the divine things and unto the use of the Lord. And that the holy priesthood are those who are separated to go to God and to represent God's people. So the real priesthood, the holy priesthood, is to bring the people of God to God and to go to God. We ourselves need to continuously go to God and also need to bring the other saints go to God. Amen. And then this is the holy priesthood. The holy priesthood is not just serve God. What the kind of service God wants is we ourselves go to God all the time. And that we need to bring all the saints to the Lord. very sad thing is many people have received the Lord, they are saved, but yet in their daily life, they did not go to God. Rather, sometimes even we ourselves, to go to the world. And therefore, as priests, we need to work on people. We need to care for people. And so then we need to, the real caring for people is to bring people to God. And then this is to be the holy priesthood. And then the royal priesthood. The royal priesthood is the on the level of Melchizedek. And so then here in C it says the order of Melchizedek is the royal order. And that is in verse 9. And also in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, you'll know Melchizedek was a king, and he was a kingly priest. Right. And so then 2 says, the kingly priests come from God to care for God's people. So one holy priesthood is to bring people to God. And then the holy priesthood is we bring God's riches to God's people. Amen. Just as the Melchizedek came from God to meet Abraham, to minister bread and wine to Abraham. And so then he says, on the one hand, we are the holy priests going to God and to represent God's people. On the other hand, we are the royal priesthood, and the royal priest coming from God to the people to represent God, to bring God's riches to men. So that's why as a priest, we have to have both sides, the holy priesthood and also the royal priesthood. In other words, we should constantly go to the Lord with the people, and so then we also need to bring from God the God's riches and to supply to people. So we need to go and come, go and come. We need both to be a real priest, or the kind of priest God wants is this kind of priest. That is, we go to God and also we go to men. Amen. Now, so we are the holy priest and the kingly priest, going and coming in two directions. Okay, now Roman numeral 6 says, the building of God's house is related to the priesthood and depends on the priesthood. So this is what we already read, Exodus 19:6. And then A says, the building of God as a dwelling place of God is the priesthood. The holy priesthood is the spiritual house. That is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21-22. These two verses are very important. So let us turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 and verse 22. Okay. So let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Okay, chapter 2, verse 21 and 22.
In whom all the building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit.
And here you see that God is our house, and we are God's house. And so here is in chapter 2, in verse 21, and it says, in whom all the building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. And then in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. So we abide in the Lord, and the Lord abide in us. This is what God wants. And now B says, the priesthood upholds the building of the church. Without the priesthood, it is impossible to build up the church. Now, this is very important. Let's read this B again. The priesthood upholds the building of the church. Without the priesthood, it is impossible to build up the church. We all know in Matthew chapter 16, and the Lord Jesus himself said that he did not say that we want to do other things. He said, upon this rock, that is upon the revealed Christ, and I will build my church. Now, this it cannot be clearer. The Lord said very clear that his burden is what? I will build my church. But how can the Lord build his church? We said many times in Ephesians chapter 2-4 that you can see that God gave the church gifts. But those gifts are not material things. Those gifts are people, apostles, evangelists, and all these ones to the church. So, but these ones has to be the real priests, and also in the real priesthood, work together. When I was still working, I also was one of the managers, and sometimes I met this kind of subordinate, people who work for me, and I often met, that was way back in 1920, that time, some people that worked for me had this kind of attitude. He said, this project you give to me to do, I guarantee I give you the result very quick and give you good result, but don't send anyone else to my team. If you try to send anyone else, I don't want to do anything. Why? This kind of person, we always have to fire them. If you cannot work with the teams, you can only work by yourself. You can never give the company the real help. And today, we need to have priesthood. It is the priesthood that can build up the church. And the holy priest offer something to God for the sake of the people. And the royal priest declare the things of God to people. Then it says, we are the holy priests and the kingly priests, going and coming in two directions. And the last point, Roman numeral 6, it says, let's read it together. The building of God's house is related to the priesthood, that depends on the priesthood. You know how serious this is. The building of God's house, that is the building of the church. God's house is the church, and it's related to the priesthood, and it depends on the priesthood. So that's why, again, Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. And then A says, the building of God as the dwelling place of God is the priesthood. The holy priesthood is the spiritual house. And this we just read, Ephesians 2, 21, 22. And B says the priesthood opposed the building of the church. Without the priesthood, it is impossible to build up the church. Let's read this again, B. The priesthood opposed the building of the church. Without the priesthood, it is impossible to build up the church. And saints will see, it says, the building of the church depends on whether or not the saints will bear the priesthood before God. Then D says, if we are willing to come forward to God, fellowship with God, live before God, and above God to flow through us, we'll enjoy the riches of Christ and express the glory of Christ in a full way. In this way, we will bear the testimony of the church, and the building of the church will be realized among us. I think this was so clear, and you cannot explain in any other way. He says, the order to recover the building of God, God must first recover the priesthood. Okay, the last part of this message is number 7. Let's read this together. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of the priesthood. And so A, what the is group of people who are brought into his presence and even into the Lord himself until they are one with him. When priesthood, a kingdom of priests, he will have the freedom to flow and work out his will for fulfillment of his eternal purpose. Now, the reason I chose this message, because the thing that touched me the most is that this is the today's recovery. Today, we don't have to recover justification by faith. 2,000 years ago, Martin Luther had already recovered that. But today, does that mean all the things the Lord wants to recover has recovered? No. Here, one thing very important, that is the priesthood, need to be recovered. So today's recovery really should concentrate on this matter of the kingdom of priests, to recover the priesthood. I hope that by this little fellowship, the Lord will open our eyes to see what is the burden the Lord has today, and where should we put our service. We have to see. We have, by the Lord's mercy, together we can recover the matter of priesthood, and therefore later Brother Ed will make this announcement again so that you will not forget about January 17th. Okay? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
As the clerk of the corporation, I would like to announce the annual corporate meeting of the church, which is this Tuesday the 13th at 9 p.m. And then, as Brother Benjamin already mentioned, on the 17th, we have a very important meeting for all those who have a burden to serve, because we need more serving ones. Finally, after the review of the training, we will go back to the book of Romans. So now we will sing a hymn. Hymn 848. 848.